Voyage.
Hey, listeners, I want to tell you about a new show just released on Voyage Media called Conversations with Men I Wish I Never Had. This is a podcast where former Master Mariner and Navy Lieutenant Commander Adina Grundy has candid, raw, cathartic, and often surprisingly funny conversations with women about their experiences in traditionally male-dominated fields, like the Navy, the Merchant Marine, and Police Force. These are the types of conversations that you might only privately have with your girlfriends, but we are sharing them for you to listen to. If you're someone who has ever had an experience working as a woman in a male-dominated field, we think you will find a lot to relate to and commiserate with. Be prepared to laugh, cry, and be entertained. The first couple of episodes are already available, and we will be releasing new episodes every week. Check out Conversations with Men I Wish I Never Had where you get your podcasts.
Joan's running to put this community back together. Enough with this me, me, me mentality of our current administration.
I never cared much for politics, but I'm really interested to hear what some of Joan's policies and plans for Cypress Creek are. Especially since I'm her husband and she doesn't always tell me her plans. Anybody else relate?
Joan Perkins? Someone who just woke up and decided to run for president? No thanks. I'm straight up voting for Katie Miller. This message was approved by me, Katie Miller.
Hi, I'm Joan. There are many reasons why I'm running for your HOA president, but the most important reason is that there has been an enormous shift in the mindset of half of the people in this community, and we want change. Yes, we all lost so much since Harvey. Some of you, it was your entire life's possessions. Others, it was your easy access to corn chips. Who can judge what is of more worth per individual? But my hope is we've also gained an understanding of what's important. And it's not about who gets invited to the most birthday parties featuring magicians, or who has the scoop on the latest celebrity gossip like you actually knew them or something, or standing in line to buy the new smartphone on day one when it already sold out online. I spoke with some of you about your concerns moving forward. Darla and Manny have not only a church building to repair, but their entire home as well. They're living in their RV for now, but how long can they sustain that? My neighbor Betty is living on the second floor of her house. She's 80 years old, unable to complete the work herself, but doesn't want to move to assisted living. She wants to retain her independence like so many of us. Gajodar just wants someone to pronounce his name correctly for once. I got you, buddy. We need people in charge who understand what it's like to start at the bottom and have to build ourselves back up. And I'm committed to creating a community of equity. It can't be about the have and have-nots any longer, and I'll do whatever it takes to change that at any cost. Thank you.
Hey, Joan, this is Nancy. I wanted to check in with you about some stock prices. I'm hearing about some of the big box home improvement companies would be a great buy. But since we're already post-hurricane, we'd have to move fast on it before the prices go through the roof. Call me.
Thank you.
As Katie, the girls, and I drove through the streets of the neighborhood, the deeper we drove in at the lower ridge, the more we saw of the desolation. There's for sale signs everywhere. At least one out of five homes we pass, what used to be streets filled with kids riding bikes, now are empty. It's a ghost town, apart from the excavators dipping their giant buckets into the mountains of garbage in front of each home. No, it's not garbage. It's our belongings, our life. Mark and Jeremy pull up in the van to the house, and then I see them. My old friends from the tennis club, the mommy clique from the neighborhood. They're all standing around with coffee and croissants and pinched faces like they're smelling something totally repugnant. They wave merrily at me as I watch them through the windshield, holding up signs saying, "Welcome home." Oh God, what are they doing here? I should have told Katie no when she asked to drive me home, but what could I do? Oh my goodness, look at this. Nancy, hi!
Welcome home, sweetie. I called you.
I know.
We've got some stalks to move on.
I turned and looked at my house for the first time. It's a two-story brick home, and moldy sheetrock and insulation from the house is piled onto the sidewalk.
Oh boy, it sure smells.
It does. It's a combination of rotting food and human excrement and moldy walls. It's awful. And now my husband expects me to live in this. But I can't let the tennis club know I know how awful it smells. So I just smile and say, "It's good to be home." They look at me like I'm drunk.
Ooh, what is that?
My daughter Danielle has reached into a pile of garbage and pulls out a dress. It's a purple taffeta, soaked, with wet clumps of drywall hanging off it. Her homecoming dress, for a homecoming that never was. My son Jeremy pulls out his football jersey in the midst of the garbage.
Maybe they'll get new uniforms when the games come back.
I watch as Mark and Jeremy move my beautiful brass bed frames away from the front door, which had been used as a blockade, and haul them towards the middle of the yard.
You saved the bed frames?
They hold some good memories.
Oh, girl, it's too early for that kind of talk.
My family heads inside, but I stay out in the yard walking around. I overhear the tennis ladies talking.
I'll take a croissant.
How can you eat with this awful stench?
Nothing gets in the way of my carbs day.
I walk amongst the things in my yard. It's furniture. Bookshelves, mattresses, chairs, clothing, toys, piles of broken wood. Everything we own is on this pile. Ruined. And then I see the door. The one with the growth chart of the kids. Over the years, dates and heights marked in Sharpie pen on the door. Now a new marker on the door. It's the stain from the flood water. Looks like we took in 8 feet. I can't get what happened out of my mind. We'd gone to bed with no flooding, and when we woke up and looked downstairs into the living room, the whole first floor had taken in water up to my waist, and it was coming in fast. The furniture was floating by. All the items we'd stacked so carefully were falling over.
We're heading up to the roof.
I thought, if we just keep riding the rising water to rooftops while holding onto the tree branches, we can do it. Mark and I set up the 24-foot ladder by the lowest point to access the roof. We gathered tarps, packed some food, medicine, put our Westie, Lucy, in a backpack and strapped her on my back. Together with our kids, we were going to get out of the house and up on the roof. While on the roof, we waited and waited and waited. Then suddenly...
Honey, there's a boat outside. They're going to make a rescue.
I never knew an aluminum boat could look so beautiful. There they were, the Cypress Creek Fire Department to the rescue. Mark yelled at them from the roof.
So, guys, level of water in our house? We're getting water pretty rapidly at this point. We just got another 5 inches this morning.
Water's coming down from the creeks, from the northwest of us. Just filling up all your creeks. We're expecting another 10 feet of water.
Across the street, I saw my 80-year-old neighbor, Betty, being pulled out of her window by our rescue team. The water was so high, they couldn't open the door. She had her starched dress on and pocketbook with her and waved at me and gave me a thumbs up like she was freaking about to board Air Force One. What a badass. I waved back. My husband piled in another boat. He was doing okay, riding along silently, staring at nothing but water and treetops. I looked over at our son with our dog tucked between his feet. Jeremy was somber in his gaze, but Danielle and Sarah were enjoying the boat ride in their life jackets. They were being so brave. We turned and passed the stop sign, and our boat was at the same level as the top of the sign. We motored along for a few minutes more, and the captain advised,
"We're coming up on some fast water, and when I say lean in, lean with all your weight. But don't get off the bench. We have to get past the current."
I looked up ahead and saw how fast the water flowed through the trees, creating a dangerous current. If our boat capsized in the current, we would all separate, and I knew there would be casualties. I held on to Danielle, and Jeremy held on to Sarah. We all leaned into the current and rode the bumps, twists, and swirls to get through the rushing water. The boat motor strained, the boat shifted sideways slightly, and we leaned in more to the right. Finally, the boat motor hummed with less strain and the ride became smoother. As we motored up the flooded roadway, I began to see dry roadway ahead. The boat stopped just short of dry ground. We sloshed through the water and it became shallower with every step. We marched forward with our minuscule belongings, so silent, completely immersed in thought, feeling the emptiness of loss. Since the hurricane, I keep having the same dream over and over. I watch myself struggle as the black water rushes in on me fast and strong. I cannot swim out because the water is holding me down. Panicking, I cannot find anything to grab or hold on to before I take a breath. My mouth opens. The water pours in as I wake up. There's a truck driving slowly down my street. I watch as a man hops out of his truck in front of houses and throws other people's trash inside his truck. Trash pickers. Profiting off my losses. I gotta go inside. I can't look anymore. I turn to my tennis ladies. "Hey, girls. Thanks for showing up, but I think it's best if you just go."
"But we're here. We have our croissants. We have our work clothes on."
"I know, but I just got home. It's been a hectic couple of months. I just need some time to process."
"Joan, honey, your neighbors would kill to have a group like us on their side. Let us help you."
I point to all houses on my street that have similar piles of garbage in front of them. There's a whole street full of people who need help. Katie gave me a stiff smile.
"Let's get a picture then of the group. Don't be a stranger, Joan."
I watch as the tennis ladies disperse back to their picturesque homes and their picturesque lives. They all live on the upper ridge, so for them, slumming it on the lower ridge is a hobby. I enter the house. It's an active construction site. The sheetrock's been gutted and only the studs remain. Like walking through whale bones, and it smells like an aging boat. It's silent, and the air is thick with sadness. It's like being at a funeral. The floor has been stripped to concrete, the same floor where my youngest took her first steps, where my husband and I'd slow danced to Ella Fitzgerald and planned our future. The carpet was worn with guests coming in and out. Now it's just a wet mess and a pile in the front yard. Mark is standing there holding a microwave. He's got a stupid grin on his face. Why?
"It's not as far along as we'd hoped, but..."
I just look at him. I can't even talk to him right now. I go upstairs, but he follows me.
Hey.
The upstairs of the house is unscathed. Our upper living room looks the same. A blue leather couch, the TV and console, carpet, At least I still have half of my house. Mark sets up the microwave with a mini fridge and instant meals on a table in the corner of the room. He's trying so hard. I know I agreed to this, but I can't stop thinking, what about the next time and the time after that? How can we keep building just to lose it again?
We've crunched the numbers. We'll never sell this house for what it's worth to us. What can I say that'll make you feel better?
Say nothing. I've cried enough. It's the end of an era, and life is going to go on. All I know is, as awful as this experience is, this is my chance at rebirth. I feel bad about turning down Katie and the girls' offer to help, so I decide to bring my apology pasta salad to the weekly book club. I hadn't been in months after Harvey. I couldn't seem to bring myself to read much. I squeeze myself into my pink and green shift dress with my wedges, grab the pasta salad just as Mark and Jeremy were pushing a big, brand new mattress up the stairs. Heading to Katie's for book club.
But...
working on getting back to normal.
But...
I know you don't want to go. I'm going to stop in, say hello, let the girls know I'm back.
What about...
see you in a few hours. I started walking myself up the road towards the upper ridge. Katie's about 3 blocks from me, and as I got closer to her house, I could hear party music floating over the rooftops. I thought, surely that's not coming from Katie's house. But as I got closer, I realized that the book club was definitely not happening. The street was full of cars, and guests were pouring into Katie's backyard. The bitch was having a barbecue and didn't invite me. After all the hoopla around making my homecoming a huge deal the day before, and then when there was an actual party, I'm passed over like a flea market clock without an hour hand. I debated for a minute if I should crash the party, but I felt cute enough. So I headed into the backyard. Katie's house is the exact replica of my house. Except it hasn't been completely destroyed by a hurricane. As I suspected, there's a big barbecue party happening. Women in cute dresses, men in clean polos, tables piled high with food and drinks, checkered tablecloths with cloth napkins, glassware, real silverware, jars with 4 different kinds of mustard. Everything very clean, very polished, and everywhere there were images of Katie's face with the words, "Re-elect Katie for board president." Signs, buttons, even the party napkins. I suddenly felt very sloppy and small. I kept checking myself to see if I was covered with mold. I had to sniff my dress a couple of times to make sure I was just imagining it. A few of my neighbors saw me and waved from across the lawn. Nobody came over to say hi. It was like if they came any closer, they might get infected with mold too. All of these people have moved on. The people on the upper ridge, they've moved on and forgotten us. Katie spotted me from across the yard. For a split second, I could have sworn she actually grimaced. She made her way over to the corner of the yard where I was hiding.
Joan! You feeling better, girl?
I see book club's expanded.
I should have called. We moved the book club so we could have a block party today. I guess we were missing your parties.
Mark and I used to host the block parties. You should see our grill now. It's like totally gone.
Well, you could always get a new one.
It's not really high up on our list, but yeah.
I feel so lucky we bought on a hill. Smartest investment we ever made. Dumb luck, really.
We were just dumb.
Oh, girl. To be honest, I didn't think you guys would stick around. I thought for sure you'd sell.
I wanted to. Mark didn't.
We thought about selling too, but decided to tough it out. You know, the days when it gets so hot and the smell reaches our house, I have to get in my car to go to a hotel.
I am that smell that she wants to get away from.
Don't you just wish sometimes you could run away from it all?
Oh, Katie, you lucky bitch. Every day. Katie moved on to talk to some of her other constituents, while I tried to find anyone to make small talk with to look like I was normal. To try to get back to the place where I felt like I was part of this community again. These people used to be my friends before the flood. Playdates, cookouts, girls' weekends together to Galveston Beach while the husbands played golf. Life couldn't get any better. Sure, it was like being in high school again, but it was fun. But now here I am, lingering on the edge of the group, waiting for someone to pick me.
Joni!
Nancy, Katie's best friend, my financial client.
We gotta talk stocks.
Did I mention she was my client? My most demanding client. Nance! Yeah, I got your messages. I've just been so busy. She literally called me 21 times in 2 days the day after Hari flooded my house to purchase stocks to capitalize on the disaster. I went back to work within days of the flood. Somebody had to pay for repairs.
I hear real estate is booming right now. A lot of folks getting out.
That may be true, but housing is still only a mediocre investment.
Oh no, after Ellis and some of my city council friends bought up damaged homes at about 30 to 40% of their pre-storm cost. Then they invested another 15% on their value and within a year offloaded them at their full pre-storm sales price.
Even though the buyers knowingly bought in a flood zone?
I know. Can you believe it? People will buy anything if the price is right.
I try to get away from Nancy as quickly as possible. I spot Heather, a fellow tennis lady, also in my book club. Heather chose some book about bondage for book club last summer and then suggested we all watch the movie with our husbands. Mark watched it, then said, "That was an assault on my eyes." Much like his reaction to when I made him watch that movie about the male strippers.
Joni! Oh, it's been so long. Let me give you a squeeze. How are you?
I'm okay.
You're just so strong. I don't know how you do it. The flood, the house, the kids. Oh, it's all just too much. I don't know if I would have survived. I really don't. Did you hear about Katie? She's been so helpful to all of us, fixing up our properties. She said that we were all eligible to get some funding from FEMA for damage to our homes. So we all decided we'd apply and get that money, and then we'd put whatever was left over to the community pool. Isn't that a brilliant workaround? I mean, who turned down free government money, am I right? I mean, it all goes back to them and our taxes, so why not? Katie is the best. She really cares about this community.
This all sounds illegal. I gotta go. I made a beeline to the exit as fast as I could. I don't want to be anywhere near these people when the feds show up.
Joan, are you all right? Your face looks like you ate something bad.
Katie, are you aware that you're helping the Upper Ridge people who did not experience a flood disaster in any way get FEMA funds to pay to build a swimming pool is basically fraud?
I am not building a pool with FEMA money. Joan, do I look that stupid to you?
Heather said.
Heather does what her husband tells her to do. She doesn't think for herself. So why would she have any idea what I'm doing for this community with FEMA funding? As you know, Nancy is in the city council. A fellow council member has a relative that works for FEMA. And they told us that everyone was welcome to apply for funding. We all have repairs that need to be done on our houses that we were going to have to pay for anyway, Joan. Some of us not as obvious as others. Maybe a drafty window or a door that sticks, loose floorboards. So we take the FEMA money and put it to those repairs. And then the personal money we were setting aside can now go to the pool. That's how it works.
But what about the people who actually need that money?
Everybody needs money. People want an HOA president that can get shit done. And I'm that candidate.
You're trying to win votes. That's what this is about.
We have every right to get help like everyone else.
I left. On my way out, I grabbed my apology pasta salad and an open bottle of wine. I walked back down the ridge and sat on the curb not far from my house and ate the apology pasta salad with my bare hands and drank the bottle of wine. Across the street from me was another Katie for President poster, leering at me while I ate. By the time I was almost done, my next-door neighbor Darla was passing by on foot.
Joan?
I don't know Darla well at all, She's been my neighbor for 5 years. A Vietnamese refugee. She came over to the Houston port as a baby. She told me once her parents had put all of their valuables in a suitcase when they fled Vietnam on a small boat. While crossing the South China Sea to the Philippines, they came across a bunch of pirates. Her mother dumped all their valuables into the sea and put Darla in the suitcase. They managed to escape the pirates, but ever since then, Darla says she knows bad guys when she sees them. She never liked the tennis ladies. She didn't like me much until she called me the night Harvey touched down. Darla and her husband Manny run a small church. The hurricane ripped the roof off and flooded the place. They also lost their house and have been living in the driveway in an old RV on cinder blocks.
You all right?
Book club.
Ah, book club. Where women I don't like get together and get drunk. You coming to church on Sunday, Joan? We're doing a service on the lawn.
Any word on your building reopening?
FEMA just turned us away. Said we were ineligible for a grant.
Even though you sheltered people for them?
They don't do churches. So now we've got to find $100,000 somewhere else for a roof.
Maybe an act of God.
Hey, he always has a plan.
If I had the money.
Girl, thank you. I know you would.
As Darla walked away, she grabbed the Katie for President sign and ripped it in half.
Hey, just trying to help your campaign.
My phone rang. Shit. Nancy.
Joni! Joni, listen, I didn't want to bring this up at the party, but I got my portfolio yesterday.
Uh-huh.
The service fees are still too high.
I know this is a real sticking point with you. Some folks would kill for a portfolio like yours, especially now. There are so many people who've lost everything.
It just seems too high. $5,000 to $7,000.
You've got a net worth of $9.5 million. You own everything you've got. You're making $375,000 to $750,000 in gains in the market every year. I don't know how you could do any better. Those fees are to pay the people who have the expertise to get you to this point.
I just wonder if I'm paying someone to do what I could simply sit and do. A monkey could sit and make trades in this type of market.
You're on the city council, right?
10 years. Never missed a meeting.
Including the emergency meeting with flood control?
Probably. I don't really remember them all.
At the party, you said something about buying up damaged homes and offloading them at full pre-storm price. Isn't that where you said you got tipped off to the real estate market? The city council meeting?
I mean, that's one of the perks of working in politics. You get the inside scoop.
Inside scoop, huh?
Everybody does it.
Everybody does it. I go home with that knowledge. I walk through my whalebone house and climb up the stairs to my second floor. I imagine Nancy and Katie at home, snuggled up on their couch, watching the latest episode of that Bachelor show without another thought for any of us who are left to suffer in squalor and deprivation. I grab my keys and purse and make a quick drive over to my office. I boot up my computer and watch as the numbers on the screen telling me the latest trading information. Numbers based on whatever our lives dictate. I pull up Nancy's account. She's got a lot of money. Money to part with. There's a button labeled sell. Nancy's given me permission to buy and sell on her behalf. She trusts me. I click on the sell button. My computer screen reads, "How much would you like to withdraw?" Without even thinking, I quickly type in dollar amount, then 100,000. The computer screen says, "Choose your payout method." And I select wire transfer. I open another screen and decide who is the neediest, who could benefit from inside scoop, as Nancy calls it. I select the First Alliance Church for domestic and international wire transfers. Routing 021-000341. Beneficiary count 6645-30221. I click transfer. Nancy just gave a $100,000 payment to cover the repairs for Darla and Manny's church. I sit back in my seat. That'll show her.
Cypress Creek is a production of Voyage Media. The series is produced by Nat Mundell, Robert Midas, Dan Benamor, and Laura Summers. Executive produced by Lynn Jenkins. Written and directed by Laura Summers, based on Hurricane Harvey, Overcoming the Chaos by Lynn Jenkins. The book is available on Amazon. A link is in the show notes. Edited, sound designed, and mixed by Joel Lippman. Original music by Derlis Gonzalez. Starring Carolina Bonetti as Katie and Annie Abrams as Joan. Additional cast credits available in the show notes. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you're listening, and subscribe now for future episodes.